Praise God. Are you ready for some more? Are you sure? Okay, praise God. You know, one of the reasons why this stuff is so important. So in this time, I want to give you a little bit of time to process some of what we've been talking about, what I've been talking about this morning. But one of the reasons why this stuff is so important is because it's twofold. It's the development that we need. It's the growth that we need. It's about our discipleship and growth, that actually we become everything that God has created us to become. And we often settle for so much less than that. And I'll say a bit more about that this afternoon. But it's also important because those areas of woundedness, of pain, of anger, frustration, you know, in the New Testament, where it speaks about don't give the devil a foothold, those are the footholds. They're the lit up landing pads. You know, when the enemy's moving around looking to be destructive in a church context or in a family context, he looks for somewhere to land. And he looks for those places in our lives, in the areas of woundedness and weakness and anger and frustration, all of those areas he looks for. So that's why it's important that we become aware of these things and that actually we deal with them as much as it depends upon us, that we're able to do that. Because that's what removing the footholds is about. Don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him space to land. Don't give him a right. Don't give him room. Because if you give it to him, he will take it, and he will not help you. Amen. It's okay, you can say that louder. It's good. It's good, isn't it? I'm a Baptist, but every now and again I'm Pentecostal too. So. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're looking at these three things. Okay, so the evasion tactics. I want to encourage you to think about what kind of questions you're asking. Okay. Now, the last one's going to drop off the bottom, unfortunately. So I will tell you what it says, but I'll remind you about it. So you may be in a season where most of your questions are authenticity questions. You're not necessarily wondering if there is a God, although that might be the question for you. Okay, but you may be wondering, what kind of God is this? Who is this? And if those are the kinds of questions you're asking, then this is the time to be asking God for a fresh revelation. Show me the I am. Reveal yourself. If credibility is an issue for you, then maybe you need a fresh revelation of who you are in Christ, who you are to God, that he went to all that trouble to create you in the first place, not to trash you, and not that so that others could trash you, but because in you there is precious gems in this earthen pot. There's something really precious. And we need to become aware of what's precious and nurture it, polish it. I was with somebody yesterday and they said, somebody was talking about somebody else and they said, oh, this person is wonderful. They're like gold. And I turned to them and I went, you know, some of us just need polishing up. We've come to believe all the muck and everything else that's kind of got onto us, we've come to believe that that's who we are. It is not who we are. It is not who we are. If you need a fresh revelation of who you are, then credibility questions may be the questions you're asking. Reliability, it may be that you need a fresh revelation of the kind of support that you need. I have to say, we women are worse at this than men. Men are very happy to delegate away. You probably noticed that. You're probably on the receiving end of quite a lot of it. Very happy to delegate away. But when it comes to us, it's like somebody comes to you and says, do you need any help? No, I'm fine. I'll sort it out. I'll make it happen. I'll cook all the meals. I'll do the dance as well. And then I'll do the washing up afterwards, you know. Hallelujah. Another Baptist in the room. Yep. Recognition. We've got to stop it, girls. You know, we've got to stop it. We need a revelation of the help that we need. And sometimes God is showing us the errands that he's putting alongside us. And we're kind of saying, oh, no, it's fine. I can make this happen all by myself. I had 6 kids. I raised them all in a cave. You are very capable and competent, but you need the help of others. You need the help of others. Let them help you. Let them help you. Now, I said that credibility and reliability questions get manifested in a different way for women. Okay, so I want to identify just 4 of them. This is from my book, 7 Deadly Sins of Women in Leadership, but I want to identify these manifestations because I want you to see if you recognize any of them for yourself, okay? So, sorry about this. The manifestations. So, there are 4 that the credibility and reliability stuff kind of gets manifested in this way. So, shrinking to fit is one of the manifestations of credibility and reliability. And shrinking to fit is where we become less than we are in order to fit others' expectations of us. Okay, we become less than we are in order to fit others' expectations of us. And usually we do this when we're afraid of damaging the ego of somebody else, of others. So we don't really show how brilliant we are. Actually, I was thinking that. I could have said that. I didn't say it. And we do this kind of shrinking to fit. And it's characterized by these words. I shouldn't. And then another manifestation is lack of confidence. And I love the way somebody defined confidence. They defined confidence in this way. They said confidence is a purity of action produced by a mind free of doubt. Purity of action produced by a mind that's free of doubt. Can you imagine doing anything without any sense of doubt at all? That's what confidence is. I just love that. And when we lack confidence, a lack of confidence is the thing that prevents us from acting courageously when we need to be courageous. And it's characterized by these words, I can't. So think about the words you sometimes think to yourself. I shouldn't. Or I can't. Lack of confidence. Perfectionism. Perfectionism is the manifestation where we feel that nothing we do is quite right. So we don't do it until it's right, which means we don't do a whole lot because we're waiting until it's absolutely right. And perfection is characterized by the words I must. And if everything has to be 100% before you do it, guess what? It'll never happen. I don't know if you've noticed that there are some statistics. Some of them are in the book, but some of them are new statistics. There's some statistics out that says it's something in the region of, I think it's 30% of women, if they see a job specification where they don't match, they only recognize about 30% of it, then they say, I can't do that. For men, if they see a job specification and they only match 30% of it, they say, I could do that. I could learn the rest. I've got transferable skills. I could do that. So for women, this is a big issue. It's a really big issue because it's the perfectionist thing. If we can't tick everything off, we will wrestle with the last thing we can't tick off. No, I can't take the job because that thing I can't do. I've never done that before. I have no experience there. And we're telling people why we're not good enough to do it. And that's what perfectionism does. It says, I must be able to match everything before I can even start out with this. And we can do that with God sometimes. You know, we sense God is calling us something, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that's not in place, a whole bunch of stuff that hasn't got sorted out, stuff that we don't know, we haven't learned yet. And we're kind of thinking, I can't do it until I've learned this, until I've done that, I've taken that exam, done that degree, been to that place. Just saying yes to God can be our biggest challenge when we're perfectionists. Say yes, Lord, when I've done this, this, and this. Well, I must do this, this, and this first. So if that's one of your challenges, and then the last one in this group is false humility. And that's really about where we feel that nothing that we do is really good enough. So we use the term, I'm only. Now, have you ever, those of you who are parents particularly, ever said, I'm only a mum? I'm only a housewife. Or I'm only the church secretary. Or I'm only on this group. I'm only part of this. And what we do is we devalue who we are in that moment. And what we're saying to God is, it's the credibility and reliability stuff. What we're saying to God is, I'm not up to that. Because I'm only this. You know, so why come to me? Why knock on my door in the first place? So these challenges, or these manifestations, are challenges. And what you'll find is that there are particular circumstances that will trigger these manifestations. So as you're in your groups, because we're just going to take a little while just in groups to talk through some of this stuff. Think about what circumstances trigger that. Because this is how the enemy keeps 50% of the church in bondage. So that we're not actually doing everything God's called us to do or being everything God's called us to be. Because we're busy wrestling with this stuff. And saying to the Lord and to everybody else, no, no, it can't possibly be me. Girl, it's you. It's you. You better believe it. So, questions. So, just find two people who look friendly. Just form a group with them. And it'd be great if you've got some people definitely not friendly over there. It'd be great if you've got some paper as well for this, because what we're going to do is we're just going to help each other. We're going to do this sort of peer thing together. And one person is going to talk, one person is going to listen, and one person is going to record everything the person who's talking is saying. Is that okay? So that every one of us is going to have a piece of paper with stuff we said on it by the end of this exercise. All right. So we're going to get into groups of three, and we're going to think about which questions am I wrestling with the most? Is it authenticity? Is it credibility? Is it reliability? How is it impacting my life and leadership or ministry? What steps can I take to overcome it? So we're going to rotate. So the first person is going to just talk stream of consciousness for about 10, 12 minutes. And then after that, I'm just going to say, okay, switch. And the first person becomes the second person. Does that make sense? Everybody gets a chance to talk and to share their thoughts. So the first person is the one who's going to speak. The second person is the one who's going to listen and make encouraging faces. That, yeah, okay. No, seriously, I've seen some really discouraging faces. You know, somebody's talking and they're going... That's not encouraging. Okay, so you're making encouraging faces and you're asking the questions. Ask the questions. Now, how do you feel that that impacts your life and your ministry? You know, what do you think you could do to turn that around? Okay, so the second person's asking questions. The third person's just writing, just recording. Okay, so 12 minutes up, I'm just going to say switch. Okay, so decide who is going to go first and then switch. Okay? So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to make the decision and to find your three.